We are talking about our journey of faith, and we're relating it to what it's like to be on a road trip. And so the last several weeks we've been talking about road trip religion and how it relates with our walk of faith and how it has implications for the many things that we have about our journey with Christ. And we began talking last week a little bit about the financial implications of a road trip. No doubt there are money aspects that come into taking a road trip. And we began to talk a little bit about the role of money in our journey of faith and what this has to do with how that relates with our faith, and how is it that we are to give, and how does the church teach and deal about money. And I cautiously go about this because, you know, we know when we start talking about money and politics and religion in any setting, you know, there's always some anxiety there. And that's not what this is about. This is not a financial drive campaign, and it's not to make you feel guilty about anything. It isn't that. It's just to look at, you know, overall, how does our discipleship and money relate with each other, and stay away from the anxieties. And I will share with you a little bit that I got to practice a little bit what I preach here this week when it comes to the anxiety regarding money. This week, Carl and I received a gift card for Joseph Dacuy. And so we're going to go down there to, I think it was Mother's Day and some dog sitting and birthdays and stuff. So we're going to go down to this restaurant. And I will tell you, I am the proverbial fish out of water when it comes to fine dining. And I want to tell you, I was anxious about this because, you know, if you know the place, it's a kind of a classy place, and I'm kind of not. And so it doesn't fit there. And it's this, I was all so worried about going in there and doing something wrong, you know, and there's another class of people that know how to do it, and the fine dining thing. And I just was worried I wasn't going to use the right fork, or I was going to burp or make some other bodily noise in the middle of all this stuff. And there, I had anxiety, and there is, and that's just what we talked about. We start talking about money and financial issues. You know, it can get you a little bit. And I got to experience that a little bit about how that all plays out. And it all went well. It was glad we went, and it was a neat evening. But we're looking at this. We're not just talking about offerings, and we're not looking just about tithing and that. We're trying to consider this from a wider angled lens, a bigger picture of what we are doing with all that we have been given and the things that we have. And money is a part of that, but it is just a part. What are we doing as being stewards of all that we have? And one of the key passages that we introduced last week comes from the book of 1 Peter that says, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. The more I look at this passage, the more power it has and the more it impacts my life here. He is telling us that we are stewards of something that we are to serve others with. So if we rephrase it a little bit to think about how this might work out as an instruction for us today, it might be written, it's underneath there in italics, good stewards serve others with the gifts received from God's manifold grace. One way of looking at it. Another translation here is we honor God, and we serve people with that which He has entrusted us. That's kind of a little bit of a twist on what that passage is saying, but God in His manifold grace, the variety and the many aspects of His grace He has given us, and He's given it to us differently, you and I. And we are to take that and we are to use it. We're to honor Him, and we are to serve Him, and we are to serve others. And that's what that passage is telling us to do. Like good stewards, serve each other with that which God has given you. We introduced a parable that Jesus was talking to His disciples about regarding the second coming, the end of this age. And He uses this story, and He starts off and he tells the story to His disciples. There was a man going on a journey. He's going to be gone away for a long time. And He entrusts to three people some of His money. And He says to one, He gives 5 talents, and to another, He gives 2 talents, and to a third, He gives 1 talent. And He goes away, and He's going to come back, and He's going to settle accounts to see what they did with these talents. And if you hear last week, we brought a little more light into what that means, because if we would rewrite that translation today using U.S. currency, we would say the man went away and he left the first guy $2.5 million, because that's what the talents would translate to. So it's not just chump change. He gives one guy $2.5 million, he gives another guy $1 million, and he gives another guy $500,000, and it goes away. And that parable is set up to tell us that Jesus is the man in the story, and he's going away for a while, but yet he has entrusted his people with tremendously valuable things. Not just money, but things that he has given us, and we talked about this last week here, like love and like family and like friends and our skills and our abilities and our interests and our likes and our cars and our homes. And the truth that we have in the gospel, that's something that's been given. We know this story of God's gospel truth through Christ. And he's given us forgiveness. And he's given us his desire to be with us. And he's given us his presence. All of these things are the manifold grace of God that he has given us, like he has given the money to the three guys in the story. He's left us with all this stuff for a time, and it is his stuff. So I asked us to consider a little bit about these things that he has given us, and to think a little more deeply about that which you've been given. It's not stuff that you've earned or you've gotten or you've acquired because of your ability. This is all these things that we have are gifts from him. And so we've been given forgiveness. How are we living as a forgiving people? We have been given life and health. And what are we doing with that life and that health? That's a question of stewardship. What are we doing with it? We've been given various kinds of relationships, our parents and our kids and our friends and our spouse and our coworkers and our classmates. How are we living in love in all of those relationships? How are you being a steward, good steward of the relationships you have? And we've been given this tremendous message of the gospel of Christ. How are we sharing that? And we've been given all these resources, especially in this country, that think of all the things we have. We just don't want for food or clothing or houses or money, our skills and our ability. How are we using all of those resources to honor him? That would be being a good steward. And we've been given these interests we have, these hobbies and our sports and our recreation. And as we participate in those things, are we bringing joy to God in that? I think he sees joy in us playing basketball and going hunting and fishing and working in our yard and all of those things that we have interest in. God sees us as taking what he has given us, and he is joy-filled as he sees us doing that in his light and in his love. How does our stewardship in our faith affect this local church? Yeah, there is a part of that, how we help support this church financially and through our prayers and through our presence. That is a part of our stewardship as well. You know, we've been talking about money in the church here for the last 2 weeks. I haven't mentioned money yet, hardly at all. We'll get there next week, but because money and our finances are a small part of this manifold grace that we have been given from God. So what are we to do with that which we've been given? And I really think when we stop and look at this differently, when we look at our lives and what we have, and we think then about its source and that we are just stewards of this for a time, and all that we have is not really ours, just like these three guys, the money that they were given is not really theirs, it changes, I think, our attitudes and our focus on what it is that we are about. And it changes our priorities. And then I think, ultimately, when we consider that, it should change our behavior. We should act differently. You know, now that we know that this isn't something that's mine and I'm going to keep it and I've earned it, but when I look at all that I have been given as a steward of what God's given me, it changes my thinking and it changes then how I'm going to go about life. I was reminded of a person here, Oscar Schindler. Anybody know Oscar Schindler? Oskar Schindler is a he was a German during World War II, and he was a businessman. And later on, Steven Spielberg took the life of Oskar Schindler and turned it into a movie called Schindler's List. Anybody seen Schindler's List? Yeah. I hate to tell you this, it's going to make you feel old, but that was 25 years ago that movie was made. 25 years old. But here's a picture of some of the scenes from that movie. But there was a scene in this thing that that struck me a little bit, and it fits so well with what we're talking about here. But I need to give you a little bit of background to this. Schindler was a he was a businessman, and he knew how to make money. He knew how to make money. And then when the war broke out, he found a way to use the Jews in Europe, especially in Poland, as slave labor to help him make money. He had a goal to go there and just make enough money that no man has ever had before. He says that. And that's what I wanted to do, is to make money. And so he found a way that he could basically use Jews as slave laborers to do things in his factory to make a lot of money. It was about business first. It was about money first. But the war was happening all around him. And in the midst of this, he's a member of the Nazi Party and understood that the Jews needed to be annihilated to begin with. But he saw this as a personal advantage for him. But throughout the movie, he begins to go through a transition, and he begins to understand a little bit more the sanctity of life. And he moves then from being a person that is just about self and how he can gain from this to a place where he can use what he has to save these Jews that would normally be shipped off to concentration camps like Auschwitz and then be killed in the gas chambers. And so the rest of the movie then is how he can then use his wealth and his skills to bribe the rest of the German authorities to he could keep his workforce intact, because he's helping with the war effort. And so that's what this whole movie is about. And the number of people that is on his list of people, that's where the movie gets his name, that he saved because of this transition, if he began to use what he had for good. And the scene we pick up on here is towards the end of the movie, and the group of Jewish people that he saved, the war's over and they're parting ways, and they presented him with a gift, and he's saying his goodbye to all of these people here. And I want you to watch what happens here.
Idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Good, what about this car? Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for at least 1. You would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. For this, I could have gone one more person, and I didn't. I didn't.
So I think that this is Oscar Schindler's Day of Reckoning. It was when what he was doing came to an end. It came to a head. And Ben Kingsley plays his accountant there, and he's telling him, you did so much. But Schindler realizes that, you know, through the first part of what he was doing there, he was just frivolous with his money because it was all about gaining more money. And he's just wasted and wasted and wasted. It wasn't till later that he realized that what he had been given, if he would have used it more effectively, he could have done so much more and saved so many more lives. And I think the point in that is this day of reckoning, I think it's coming for us as well, that we have been given skills and abilities to be able to use. And there is a day of reckoning that God's going to come back and say, what did you do with this that I have given you? What is it that you have done that I have given with you? Let's continue on with the parable here from Matthew 25 to see how this worked out. The three men had been given, they've been given some money, and their day of reckoning was to happen soon as well. So in verse 15 it says, then the man went on his journey, and the man who had received the 5 talents, I want to change this up a little bit, the man that received $2.5 million went at once and put his money to work and gained another $2.5 million. So also the one who had been given 2 talents or $1 million gained another million. But the man who had received just $500,000 went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the $2.5 million brought the other $2.5 million and said, Master, he said, you entrusted me with this $2.5 million. See, I have gained $2.5 million more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. And the same thing then happens with the guy that got the $1 million. Same thing. He doubles it and brings it in. And the man says the same kind of thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Same thing. But then the third man comes in verse 24. The man who had received the $500,000 says, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went on and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has been given more, and for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not the prettiest passage in the Bible to read, but it is a truth there. And I want to talk about that guy, the third man, there first. I think we could probably argue that man never really received the gift that he'd been given. He never really received it because he buried it. He hid it. He really didn't do anything with it. He didn't receive it. And I think there are those, when we take that and apply it to life, I believe there are those that never really receive the manifold grace of God. They bury it. They don't acknowledge the fact that what they have been given comes from Him. And they then, in that way, reject it. They don't put it into good use for the Master. And there, therefore, then is consequences for that, because we didn't receive and we didn't trust. But the story that we want to model ourselves after are the stories of those first couple of guys, because that is how it is that we are to be. Those are the kind of stewards that we are supposed to be. They are the good stewards. They worked hard with that which they have been given. And so all that stuff that we have been given, it's not money here. The money represents the manifold grace that you and I have been given. All of those things that was on that earlier slide there about our forgiveness and our relationships and our jobs and our resources and all those things we have been given. He's coming back. He's coming back, and we want to be like those first couple of servants that he says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. You know, that story right there is kind of incredible. Because when he comes back to these guys, here's, you know, $5 million this guy has. But what does the master call it? You've been faithful with a few things. Isn't that something? You know, when you look at it now and you think about what they were entrusted with, it was enormous monetarily. But he calls it little. You were trusted with little. Now I'm going to reward you greatly. You and I think we can look at what we've been given here and now has tremendous value. Here and now it has tremendous value. Your forgiveness here and now has tremendous value. How are you living as one who has been forgiven? You've been given abilities and skills to do things, to help out other people. It's of tremendous value. What are we doing with that? In here and now, it has tremendous value. The relationships that you have, what kind words you have the ability to say with other people, that's what God has entrusted you. That's manifold grace. It has tremendous value now. What are we doing with it? But if we apply the story here, when he returns, he'll say, you've been faithful with this little stuff that I've given you that we look very, very highly upon now. But in the kingdom kinds of things at his return, the reward is going to be so much greater because you were faithful. And we can't imagine what that's going to be like. Incentive to me to be a great steward of what he's given us. Immeasurable gifts and rewards we have for those who are faithful. And I think this overall causes me to rethink, because I can pull some of those colored words out of there and think about what has he trusted me with. And I think about my family. I'm just blessed with an awesome family and just smiles on my face all day long when I get to hang out with my family. What a gift of his grace that he's graced me with, an awesome wife and kids and my in-laws, and even my granddogs are awesome. I've been graced with all of this. And I think, too, this position that I'm in, I think I've shared this with you before, that when I left Whitco, you know, I struggled a little bit about, you know, am I going to be emotional about this? I've been there 34 years, you know, is this going to be hard? And it wasn't. There was only one time that I got emotional, and I'm not going to do it here. I was driving out, thinking about my career. I wasn't going to do this. And I felt him say to me, have you thanked me for this? Have you thanked me for this? And he just caught me in my tracks, because I hadn't thought about it that way. You know, everybody thinks about retirement. Can't we turn that page, you know, and move on to the next thing? But he stopped me in my tracks. Have you thanked me for these 34 years there? And I thought, wow, what a wonderful piece of grace that I hadn't acknowledged. And I did. I thanked him for that time. And even more than that, because of that, I have this ability to do this next page. You know, and what am I doing with it? I get to come here and do this. And I think so highly of this. It's just an awesome thing that we financially could do it. My career was at a point we could do it. He's graced me with this opportunity. That's kind of my little page there. What am I doing with it? What am I doing with this manifold grace that he's given me? And I want to be done. And he comes back and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that's my little story, but you've got one just like it. You've got one just like it, that you have been given these things. And what are we doing with that? And I hope that's what we do. I hope this is causing you to rethink a little bit about all of this wonderful grace that you have been given. What are you doing with it? Because it is all his. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, and the world, and all who live in it. It's his. What are we doing with it? Pray with me. Father, thank you for